Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's gospel passage from Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is once again confronted by the Pharisees, and as usual, not with the hope of benefiting from his sublime wisdom, from his divine teaching, but rather to ensnare him, and finally, to have some excuse, get rid of him. And as usual, Jesus doesn't fall for their gimmicks, but confounds them with his infinite wisdom. On this occasion, the Pharisees thought that they had Jesus in for sure, asking him about the legitimacy of the Roman census tax, or about taxes in general given to the Roman authorities. If Jesus denied the legitimacy of this tax given to the Romans, then the Pharisees would have a basis for accusing him of being a subverter, a rebellion, being insubordinate to the Roman authorities. And if Jesus expressed his support of the census tax, then the Pharisees would have a basis for making Jesus a traitor of the Jewish people, who, at least for the most part, felt the burden of the Roman rulers, seeing it something of, at least to some of them, as an oppressive, and at least to many more of them, a humiliation. So it looked like Jesus was deadlocked in a sort of catch-22 or a no-win situation, or so it seemed. As on other occasions, run-ins with the Pharisees, this time Jesus also would not respond to them directly, but indirectly, and always in an unexpected, surprising way. As we heard, knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that, he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." With this amazing answer, Jesus would have all of us to understand that it is indeed legitimate for the Roman authorities, for any government authority, exact taxes, from its citizens, provided they are fair and just, of course, not overly oppressive or burdensome. And the citizens are obliged to pay these just taxes. Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So generally speaking, the citizens of any given society are obliged to contribute to the common good and to the betterment of the society they form a part of, and paying taxes is just one of the many forms in which this can be done, at least on a minimal, level, as it were, contributing to the common good in this way, this material, financial level. Sacred Scripture has a bit more to say about this, the duties of citizens regarding taxes to be paid and so forth. You probably are familiar with some of those scripture references. I'll give you one of them. St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, where he says, "Let every person be subordinate to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been established by God. Therefore, it is necessary to be subject not only because of the wrath," that is the punishment that can be carried out to criminals, "but also because of conscience. This is why you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Pay to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, toll to whom toll is due, respect for whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due." The Catechism of the Catholic Church states the following regarding the authorities in civil society. It is the duty of citizens to contribute along with the civil authorities to the good of society in a spirit of truth, justice, solidarity, and freedom. The love and service of one's country follow from the duty of gratitude and belong to the order of charity. Submission to legitimate authorities and service of the common good requires citizens to fulfill their roles in the life of the political community. So God made us as social beings, you know, as we know. He made us to live in society with other people, with God-given rights, yes. For example, you know, the right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, religious freedom, etc. But also with God-given duties that must be fulfilled. For example, to contribute to the common good, as we mentioned already, and paying taxes, at least minimally. As Christians, we are, yes, in the world, but not of the world. But this doesn't mean, you know, that we are in some way exempt from the basic obligations of being human, living in a human society, of being a good citizen in the society that we live in. In fact, as Christians, we must be exemplary citizens, living out the human virtues, you know, but elevated and perfected by supernatural grace, living them precisely as Christians, you know, the Christian virtues. To be model citizens in society is one sure and powerful way of fulfilling our vocation or mission given to us by the Lord of being light of the world and salt of the earth. You know, giving this good example. Fidelity to this mission will, you could say, make heaven on earth more tangible, more of a reality, as it were. You know, making this world more heavenly. The presence and the activity and good example of Christians. Infidelity to this mission, this vocation, will lead to the opposite, more of a hell on earth. You know, everyone, as it were, you know, Christians included, you know, minding their own business, as it were, not caring one bit about others in society. That's pretty much what it's like to have hell on earth. We want to be faithful and to have heaven reflected on earth as much as possible. As you know, some people have dual citizenship. It's kind of rare, but it does happen, you know, to be a citizen of one, not just one country, but of two. You might know some people who have dual citizenships, and this sometimes is necessary, you know, for economic or familial reasons, having to spend a considerable amount of time in both countries. In any case, we Christians also have a dual citizenship of sorts. We are citizens of an earthly city. You know, here, you know, we are all Americans. You know, there is an exception here. You know, we have an Australian here among us. But anyway, we are Americans, citizens of this country. But also, and firstly, and most importantly, we are citizens of heaven. The two citizenships are distinct, it's true, they're not the same thing, but they're not contradictory. It's not an either-or situation. You know, we're either only citizens of this world or citizens of the next world, of heaven, but it's a both-and kind of situation. We are really citizens both of this world and of the life to come. Citizens of heaven. So these two citizenships that we have as Christians, they must be complementary, and therefore there must not be any sort of conflict between the two as such, you know, as if this dual citizenship might entail some sort of split personality of ours, you know, to have like an earthly personality and a heavenly one, kind of, which contradicts one another. This ought not to be the case. While on this earth, while living in this world as earthly citizens, We have certain definite obligations to fulfill. And this is quite obvious to us in the world today. A lot of things that need to be done here on earth. We hear a lot about of the social justice issues, you know, of immigration and so forth. And then there's the, of course, the need to protect and defend, promote life, marriage, and the family, and so forth. You know, all these various, you know, issues, which are, you could say, rather earthly, but they need to be faced and fulfilled, you know, precisely as Catholics. And at the same time, however, we are, in a sense, pilgrims and strangers in this world. We are to be fully cognizant of what Sacred Scripture says. You know, for example, Hebrews chapter 13 states, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the one that is to come." We are on a journey towards our heavenly homeland. We are indeed already citizens of heaven. And in the meantime, our heavenly citizenship, it must influence, color, or set the tone of our earthly citizenship. Now, going back to the social justice thing, there's in the present state of affairs, you know, at least among Catholics, there seems to be this lack of harmony, you know, between the need to carry out social justice on the one hand, and on the other hand, certain duties such as evangelization, mission, preaching the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, the need to convert, and so forth. You know, there's this dichotomy, it seems. It was just something that I can see, I think, many times among Catholics. It's as if it has to be one or the other. You know, people who are Catholics who are committed to only social justice issues, as it were, things that are more earthly, as it were, to the neglect of, you know, preaching the need to be converted and embrace the Catholic faith, for example, you know, setting that aside. Whereas those on the opposite side of the spectrum, you know, the opposite side might stress the one and neglect the other, as if what only mattered was, you know, just, you know, preaching the need to convert, you know, to the Catholic faith and so forth, while neglecting social justice issues. Again, there's this unnecessary dichotomy, lack of harmony. You know, it's not an either-or thing, but a both-and thing. You know, we as Catholics have to be committed to both, you know, what pertains to this world and also what pertains to the next world. So both and. Obviously, it's not easy to strike the balance, but that's something that we should strive to do, you know, to do both. So the struggle or battle for us is not so much between these two citizenships of ours, the earthly and the heavenly, but rather to identify and live out the duties proper to each. And then we pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. Identify that, distinguish it, and live it out. So both are good, necessary, and important. To earthly rulers, let us as Catholics give what is due. Be exemplary citizens, pay our taxes, contribute to the common good. And to God, let us give what is due, to love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our strength, and with all our minds. Praise be Jesus and Mary. Amen.